Master Crown, and oh, in the sin where my sins drag me down, I cry to the Lord from the dim I reclaim, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul to tell, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling, but here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. His wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him to love, and his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul to grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious
chorus. If you read music, that first part is really the man's part. One, give me that chorus there where I can see.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea.
That's a man's part right there. So men, we need you to sing, okay? We want you to be men, all right? We're talking about the grace of Jesus, all right? Here we go.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. I yet to have been pardoned, saved to the uppermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, reaches me.
Here we go, men.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me.
Here we go, ladies.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, wonderful the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
Did y'all hear the men? You didn't hear? Did Mike not sing? Oh, all right, get one more chance. Here we go.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most divine, my it's transforming power, making a God's day turn, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus
running like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus Christ, His name. Amen. I got so excited, I don't even know what this song is. I mean, okay, here we go. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place.
Service this morning, going to have a good one tonight. I had a good one out at Library of Legacies. We were Brother David, he does such a good job preaching those guys out there. I do a
That's terrible job. I'm old and I can relate.
He's getting old. I can't relate to him because I do a terrible job out there. I do. Stacy does good. Dwayne does good. And he does. We rotate around. And I'm telling you, I can't. But when I come in here, this is where I feel comfortable. And so I'll just keep doing that and leave that up to them. But anyway, we had a good service out there. Good day all together. And we're back where we're supposed to be tonight and look forward to hearing from Brother David. So let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. And then we'll get back to the singing. Aaron, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, "Oh Lord, don't hide Your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand, let me stand on the one stand on.
announcements other than to just remind you, if you are scheduled for a pick this next Saturday, that's our last Saturday to be doing this for our directory, and so please make it. And for those that we cannot get squeezed in on Saturday, some people always work on Saturday. We've got to sign up there to do a few of those photos after the services on Sunday. And so if you need that, go ahead and sign that page back there and let us know, and hopefully we won't have too many of those. But man, I tell you, the Williams family has done a fantastic job on this deal, and they've got a lot of work ahead of them. They've already devoted two Saturdays to it. Lindsay and Valerie have, and Georgie's been helping out with the table back there watching it. And then there's still the publication and all that stuff that's coming up. So thank you, Williams family, for that. And we look forward to getting these directories in our hands and getting them online. So,
and go with me to Luke chapter number 12, please. Luke chapter number 12. We need to be praying for Martha. She's playing hurt today. She's got a compound fracture in her back. Oh, compression fracture. I'm sorry. A compound, I guess, is what? Total? Oh, compression. I'm sorry. Words matter, don't they? But she's got a compression fracture in the middle of her back, and she's still here and playing. And you can tell, you know, when you're doing all that and you're hurting in the middle of your back, you just got to be a man, but we don't want her to be a man, but she's tough. But you pray for Martha, okay, that thing will heal up and she'll get to feeling a little better. And Wayne's going to have to learn how to cook for a while. Nah. All right. Let's get into our text tonight. Verse number 22 of Luke chapter number 12. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the lilies, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubic? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've just entitled my message tonight, we're going through some questions in the New Testament. And this passage has to do with worry and anxiety. So I've just entitled my message tonight, What Will Worrying Do For You? In 1994, Disney released one of its most iconic movies called The Lion King. If you had kids or grandkids during that time, you would be able to sing all of the songs word for word, because, you know, kids get those Disney songs, and I mean, they just sing them over and over and over. And one of the most popular songs of that movie was a song entitled Huna Matata, which is Swahili for no troubles, no worry. Here's a couple of lines from that song. It says, Huna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of our days. It's our problem-free philosophy, Huna Matata. Some of us are old enough to remember in 1988, Bobby McFerrin's made a song very popular, Don't Worry, Be. In every life, we have some troubles. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord says your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Songs like that are easy sung than they are done, aren't they? Gary Hamrick says this, all of us worry some of the time. Some of us worry all of the time. But Jesus said none of us should worry any of the time. They tell us that in America, 40 to 43 million people annually have a diagnosable anxiety condition. In 2022, 32% of Americans said they felt more anxious than they did in 2021. In 2023, that number rose to 37% of Americans said that they felt more anxious than they did the year before. In 2024, that number rose again to 43% of Americans said they felt more anxious than they did the year before. And if the numbers were available, I am sure more people would feel anxious in 2025 than they did in 2024. I find that interesting because we live in a society that is indulged, that is lavish, that is comfortable. Hey, we have more of a comfortable life and we have more things than we've ever had in our nation's history, but yet there is more anxiousness, there is more stressed out, there is more panicking, and there's more worry in our society. They tell us there are some causes for anxiety. Number one, the feeling of lack of control. Things are happening beyond my control and they worry. We people are anxious about it. The fear of outcomes, past experiences, those that have high responsibility or pressure, stress and fatigue and information overload, all of those cause anxiety or worry. Cornell University did a study and found out that 85% of what we worry about actually never comes true. In a separate study from Penn State University involving individuals with generalized anxiety disorder found that 91% of worries did not materialize, while some participants reported zero worries ever came true. What do people worry about? Seven things. Number one, we worry about the future. What's going to happen a year from now? What's going to be happening 2 years from now? How is AI going to affect our society? Am I going to lose my job because of AI and all of the technology? We are anxious and we worry about the future because it's unknown. Many of us, sometimes we worry about the past. We worry about what we could change, what we could go back and do over. Some people worry about money. Others worry about health. Some worry about job security. Others worry about relationships. And then others just worry or anxious about what other people think about them. An old man said this, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere at all. Corrie ten Boom said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strengths. When you read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you understand that Jesus knows that we're going to have a tendency to worry in our lives. You can see it in some of the great leaders of the church. There was a tendency to worry and there was a tendency to be anxious. But I want you to hear what I say. Jesus does not teach us how to handle worry or anxiety. I want to give that to you again because that might be shocking to you. Jesus does not teach us how to handle anxiety or worry. What Jesus teaches us is that we are not to worry at all, but to trust God for every area of our life. You see that three times in this text. In verse number 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Jesus says, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be anxious in your life. That word thought there means divided. It means moving in an opposite direction. Some others would interpret that word to say it means to choke or it means to strangle. And you know, if you struggle with worry and anxiety in your life, it can struggle, it can strangle all of your energy out of yourselves. He would say that again in verse number 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. That word, that phrase there, neither be ye of doubtful mind, means, hey, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be anxious in life. Verse number 32, he would say this, fear not. He doesn't say fear a little. Fear when the going gets tough. He just says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So especially in this text, Jesus is not teaching us how to handle worry. Jesus is teaching us not to worry. Now, how can I live my life and not worry? How can I live my life and not be anxious? I think Jesus in this text gives us three very important keys to do that. Number one, I can count on God's provision for my life. Number one, I can count on God's provision for my life. I love that passage in Psalms 37 and verse number 25 where David said, I am old, I have been young, but I have never seen his seed forsaken or his seed begging for bread. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, my God shall supply part of your needs. My God shall supply what? All of your needs according to his riches in glory. I don't know about you, but I've watched it over my life, and I've just watched God provide for my provisions and for my needs over and over and over and over. I remember when I went to Bible college. I was 27 years of age, and I had three kids, and I just bought a brand new car, and I was making payments on that car, and I went to, and I was making pretty good money in Coleman, and I quit my job, and I packed up my family, and we moved all the way to Springfield, Missouri, and I was scared to death. You've heard me say this. I had never looked for a job in my life. I'd always had jobs, and I said, I know this sounds crazy to you, but I sat in my living room over 2 days thinking about how can I go and apply for jobs. I was scared. That first job I got, I only made like $7 an hour, and I thought, I got three kids. How in the world am I going to make a living on $7 an hour? And I just have to be honest with you. Me and God got along, and I said, God, you know what? Don't take my new car away from me. I'm only making this amount of money, and God, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to learn the ministry, and God, if we're going to make it, you are going to have to provide. You know what happened over the next 3.5 years? He provided. Not only did I get rid of that new car that I had, I bought another new car while I was going to Bible college. But God just provided. Money, that you've heard me tell the story. One morning I went to the mail and I had a check for $1,000 from a lady that I just barely knew. But over and over, I watched God provide. When I came here, or when I left Coleman in my 40s, I was used to making really good money. I was living the high life. And you know, I went to work in the convenience stores at night making $7.50 an hour. Now, when I was a kid, $7.50 wasn't too bad, but I'm telling you what, when you're an adult, 40 years old, and you're used to about $1,000 a week, $7.50 don't go very far. But I watch God take care of me. Provide. Over and over and over and over and over again. Many of you, some of you may not know this, but CJ waited 30 years to find me. Single for 30 years, all by herself, no man to take care of her. Isn't that right, baby?
Right.
Amen. But you know what? God provided for all those 30 years. I still say it to this day. When we got married and I moved into her house, I'd get to looking for something and she would say, yeah, I think I got that. And she'd go over there. Now, it wasn't very good quality sometimes because she had some of these old cheap power tools and stuff. But she had all kinds of stuff. And I would think, how in the world did you get all that stuff? You know, now, there was times she didn't turn on her heat. Isn't that right, Martha? There was times she didn't turn on the air conditioner and she didn't have cable TV and all those kinds of stuff. But I'm telling you what, God took care of her for over 30 years and she would stand up and say, you know what? God provided for my needs when I didn't know how in the world He was going to do that. If I had time tonight, all across this auditorium tonight, we'd have people stand up and say, you know what? Man, I've been serving God for a long time, and there was a time in my life when I went through a rough patch and I just didn't know how I was going to make it. And maybe I didn't have enough money coming in. Maybe I didn't have the resources coming in. And I just had to depend upon God. And God was faithful. And God supplied my needs over and over and over again. Why is it that we worry? Why is it that we're concerned? Do we have enough stuff? When we've got a promise from our Heavenly Father that says, you know what, any of your needs. Now there's in Psalms, He says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, but you got to be committed to Him. But in Philippians, He says this, I'm going to supply your needs. You're not going to have to worry about needs in your life, like what you're going to eat. Has anybody ever died, I don't say died, but has anybody ever had to go really hungry for a long time? I've never had to go hungry. Now, I know Brother Chris, he had to eat snuff for a while from his family. He tells that story, nothing but snuff. But at least you had something to put in your mouth, didn't you? But you know what? There's never been a time in my life that I did not have something to eat. Now, it might not have been what I wanted to eat. But you know what? I've always had something to eat. Has anybody ever had a time where you had to go around naked because you didn't have no clothes? You always had clothes. You know what? That's what Jesus says. Notice what He says in verse number 32. And I want you to take hold of this tonight. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Hey, Jesus is saying, hey, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be in anxiety for your life. Why? For what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And then He gives us three illustrations. He says, I want you to think about the ravens, the birds. He says, you know what? Those ravens, they don't go out and they don't plant a crop. They don't go out and tend that crop. After the crop is planted, they don't go out and reap the crop. And the Bible says they don't have storehouses and they don't have barns. They never put up. But yet Jesus says they eat every day. Remember last week or the week before last, I talked about the Lord's Prayer just a second. That we are to pray to the Lord every day, give us our daily bread. He would go and He would say, hey, look at the lilies of the field. In that time, the lilies grew wild and they grew in the fields. And I'm quite sure when Jesus was trying to teach this to disciples, he was looking across those fields and he saw these beautiful lilies. And He said, hey, I want you to look at those lilies. Man, look at the splendor and look how beautiful and look how gorgeous they are. But they don't plant, they don't sow, they don't toil, they don't do anything. And Jesus says, you know what? You can take one of these beautiful lilies and you can compare it to Solomon, all of his glory, and they don't compare. In just a few weeks, if we get some spring rains, you're going to drive down the road and wildflowers are going to be everywhere. Oh, Mike, when he's going back and forth, he's going to be able to see all those beautiful wildflowers. And in a month or two, when I go to Coleman and check on my parents' stuff and do what I do in Coleman, I will make a point to drive from Coleman to Abilene, and because around Novice, Texas. Anybody know where Novice, Texas is? around Novice, Texas, there's some hills and stuff. And as far as you can see in the springtime, there's about a two-week period that it just turns yellow. There's these little bitty old yellow flowers, and I don't know where they've come from, but I'm telling you, during the spring, when they get enough rains, it is just absolutely gorgeous, because as far as you can see, there are these beautiful little yellow flowers that just cover the ground. And every time I see it, I'm in just in awe. But you know what? God grows those flowers. Those flowers didn't do anything. And God provides rain and the land for them to grow, for you and I to get to enjoy. In the springtime, people drive down through the hill country and see the blue bonnets and the Indian paintbrushes and all of those beautiful flowers. And here is Jesus' point. If God takes care of them and gives them such splendor and gives them such glory, won't God take care of you? And then he looks at the grass and he says, you know what? The grass, it's just here for a short time. It's here and then it's gone. But he says God takes care of them. And his whole argument is this. If God provides and takes care of the raven, if God provides and takes care of the lilies, if God provides and takes care for the grass, and they are lesser, you and I are his children, would he treat us any less than a bird, a lily, or the grass? I hope you can leave tonight with confidence to know that God will provide for your needs. You see, if my faith will not let me trust God to provide my needs, then I'm going to get worried and I'm going to have anxiety when things come. But if my faith and my trust is in the Lord and I know and I take His word at heart and I say, God, I know You're going to provide my needs. I don't know how You're going to do it, but I know You're going to do it. Then I can go about my business with a smile and a song in my heart. Amen. You know why He says don't worry? Because he says, hey, I'll provide your needs. I'll provide your needs. 62 years of age, there's never been one time in my life that God hasn't provided for me. Can I tell you this, though? It doesn't mean to sit in your chair and not do anything. All right, God, you told me you're going to supply my needs, so I'm going to sit down and enjoy it. You're liable to go hungry, amen? Because the Bible says we're to work. And you know what I found? The harder I work, the more He blesses. And the more He supplies. And the more that He takes care of me. May not be exactly the way I want it. But He always takes care of me. The second thing is I can count on God's plan for my life. I don't have to worry because I can count on God's plan for my life. I want you to notice verse number 25. In verse number 25 it says, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubic? If you then be able to do that which thing is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? The ideal in that verse is this. Let's say you try everything you can and know to do to extend your life by 1 minute. A cubic is a small amount. And so let's say, hey, you're going to eat right. I'm not against these things, but I'm just going to put them out there. Let's say you eat right. Let's say you every morning you exercise. You go to the doctor like you should. My wife is on me all the time. You need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. Well, I'll go when I get ready, amen. But let's say you go to the doctor regularly. Let's say you do everything that you can do that you know to do is right, because, hey, you're going to live as long as you want to live. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do everything, if you think you can do everything that's possible so you can live longer, it's not going to happen. You know why? Because my Bible teaches me God knows the day that I'm going to be born and the day that I'm going to die. I don't know when it's going to be. You've heard me talk about pancreatic cancer runs real strong on my mother's side of the family. My grandmother and two of her sons died with pancreatic cancer when they reached 70 years of age. My grandfather on my daddy's side, my daddy's dad, had a massive stroke when he was in his early 60s and lay paralyzed for 12 years before he died. You know what? If I'm not careful, I can think about those. I can worry about those things. Now, I'm not saying that, listen to me, don't leave tonight just saying we should never think about those things. The point is this, God's got a plan for your life. God knows the day that you're going to check out. God knows what is going to happen in your life that's going to cause you to go to heaven. Listen to me, He's not going to be surprised. In the 140 funerals that I've done in my ministry, almost all of those funerals, I have stood before that congregation and I've said this, hey, God's not surprised by what is taking place here. And I've preached all ages of funerals. I've preached from babies all the way up to very elderly people. And not one of those deaths surprised God. Why? Because God knows and God's got a plan for your life. I know people, they're just worried about all the time of what's going to happen. What new disease is going to come out? Well, I might get that disease and I may die. Well, you're not going to die until God gets ready to take you to heaven. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I'm trying to help you tonight. You're not going to heaven until the Lord says it's time to come to heaven. If that is the case, guess what? I don't have to worry all the time. I don't have to worry about what China's doing in their labs over there and getting a new virus to come. I don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Now, listen to me. I think we ought to take care of yourself. So don't. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. But I'm saying, listen to me. You don't have to worry. God's got a plan for your life. You believe that tonight? Man, I do. I believe it with all of my heart. God's got a plan for my life and He's in charge of my life. And listen to me, I'm not going to heaven until He says, hey, Dave, come up hither. And when I'm sitting right here, what song are we going to sing? I say it all the time. And you're going to play it what? Fast. I told all my troubles goodbye. Goodbye to each tear and each sigh. This world where I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for a land in the sky. A day, maybe two, then goodbye. Tomorrow I'll rise up and fly. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. You know what? When I'm in my funeral, you're going to remember this, aren't you? What? I don't worry about those things. You know why? Because God's got a plan for my life. God's got a plan for my life. And I may not understand everything, but I sure do trust His plan. The third thing is this. I can count on God's promises for my life. Notice in verse number 31. He says this. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. And what's that next word? All these things shall be what? Added unto you. Well, what things is he talking about? Back up in verse number 29, and seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I tell you a key to living a wonderful, happy life? Is seeking God's kingdom first. Man, just serving God. And God's making you a promise here. He says, you know what? If you'll seek me first, then all of this other stuff that everybody else is running after and chasing after, he says, you know what? I'm going to add it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Can I tell you, God's done that in my life. Can I tell you, God's done that in our preacher's life. He would stand up and say to you today, as he kind of said this morning, as in the past, hey, he started out with nothing, but I'm telling you what, God sure has added a lot to you, hasn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Can I tell you, in my life, I have tons more than my parents ever dreamed they could have. It wasn't anything that I did. It's just I tried to seek God's kingdom, and you know what? Over the years, he just added a little bit here, added a little bit there, added a little bit there, added a little bit there, and added a little bit there. And now that I'm old, boy, he's added a lot of stuff. You know why I don't have to worry? Because if he's made a promise to me. He said, hey, if you will seek me first, then all that other stuff, I'll add it to you. I like that last verse where it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I can remember on Sunday night growing up in the church, and Brother Bigham would preach on the second coming. And I would always think in my mind as a kid, oh, Lord, don't come. I want to get married. I want to have a life. I want to have kids. I want to do some things. You know why? Because I just have to be honest with you. I didn't have a lot of treasure in heaven at that point. But now all these years later, well, when the preacher preaches on the second coming and preaches on heaven, well, I tell you, my heart gets to pitter-patter. I get excited. You know why? Because I got a lot of treasure in heaven. I used to not care what the stock market did. I didn't care if it went up 1,000 points or if it went down 1,000 points. I didn't care. You know why? Because I didn't have any treasure in it. But now that I've got a little treasure in it, every day I'm over there looking. What did it do? What did it didn't do? But what if our treasure was God's kingdom? What if our treasure was seeking His kingdom? And God giving us the promise, all the other things that you think you need, I'll add it to you. I'll give it to you. I think all of us could stand tonight and say we're far more blessed than we deserved, can't we? You know why? Because God. God has provided for you. He's got a plan for you. And I promise you that He has got a promise for you. J.C. Penney. All of us know that name. In 1929, he'd almost lost all of his material assets. He became physically ill and deeply depressed. As a result, he had to be hospitalized. One night, Penny thought he was dying. He woke up and he realized he was still alive. And as he walked down the hospital corridor that day, he heard singing coming from the hospital chapel. The song was this, "God will take care of you." These words kindled a spark in his heart. He went into the chapel where the prayers and reading of the scriptures directed his focus from his problems to God, who cared about him and was able to deliver him from his difficult circumstances. This was a turning point for J.C. Penney. He made a complete recovery from his illness and went on to build one of the most successful retail businesses in the United States. Here are the words to that song he heard that night. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through days of toil when hearts doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need He will provide, God will take care of you. All strength you need will be supplied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. And the chorus to that song is this: God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Why does He not teach us how to handle worry and anxiety? Because He says you don't have to, because I'll provide for you. You don't have to worry because I've got a plan for your life. You don't have to worry because I've given you the promise. My friends, if you struggle with worry tonight, all of us do some of the time. But my friends, I want you to know you've got a heavenly Father that owns the cattle on the thousand hills, that has made you a promise: I'll take care of you. Lord, we love you tonight. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for those promises. God, there's times in my life when I get weak and I get my eyes off of you and I get my eyes on my circumstances, and worry and anxiety creeps in. And God, tonight I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd help me to keep focused in upon you and let you provide. And I pray that I would live your promises. And God, tonight I pray if there are those that might be here tonight, then they might be carrying a very heavy, heavy, heavy burden. God, I pray that you would speak to them tonight. I pray that you would encourage them tonight. I pray that you'd let them know that your promises are true and your provision is endless. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Would you stand with us, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to you tonight, our altars are open. You come.